The scripture for today is Haggai 2, 1 through 9. My student Bible tells me that this situation had existed for decades when God had been trying to get the Israelites to rebuild the temple. Finally, when they started rebuilding the temple, God's sternness gave up just a little bit toward them. Now, this is stretching it just a little bit, but as I read this scripture, I could see a little tiny bit of Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn trying to get help in painting the picket fence. I'm going to be reading for Peterson, and the title is "The Temple Will End Up Better Than When It Started." Many of you have read unabridged books. Well, this scripture is abridged, because if I tried to say all the names, I'd lose my teeth. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of God came through the prophet Haggai. "Tell the governor, tell the high priest, and all of the people, is there anyone here who saw the temple the way it used to be, all glorious? And what do you see now? Not much, right? So get to work, governor. Get to work, high priest. Get to work, all you people. God is speaking. Yes, get to work, for I am with you. The God of angel armies is speaking. Put into action the word I covenanted with you when you left Egypt. I'm living and breathing among you right now. Don't be timid. Don't hold back. This is what God of angel armies said. Before you know it, I will shake up the sky, earth, ocean, and fields, and I will shake down the godless nations. They'll bring bushels of wealth, and I'll find the temple with splendor. God of angels' armies say so. I own the silver, I own the gold, decree God of angel armies. This temple is going to end up far better than what it started out. A glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish. A place in which I'll hand out holiness and wholesomeness. Decree of God, the angel armies."
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you also for how it speaks into our lives. We might not always react immediately, but that doesn't mean it's not speaking into our lives. You are a God of incredible power and grace beyond anything that we can imagine. Thank you for being at work in us right now as your people. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. I was visiting back in Pennsylvania, a far-off, wild land. Anybody ever hear of Pennsylvania before? Anybody ever try to drive through Pennsylvania? A lot of prayer that's needed for that. Do you know, and I'm so proud of this, being from Pennsylvania, that every year, two of the five worst roads to drive on are in Pennsylvania? Yes! Yes! Every year. Truck Driver Magazine votes on that. There's always two out of the top five. But I also experienced something that I don't have to do or experience that often living here in Yuma. I was wearing something called a winter coat. Anybody ever have to wear one of those? A heavier coat lined water hood, of course. And you know, whenever I lived back there, this coat had zippers on it. Whenever I lived back there, I'd put stuff in, I'd zip it up, you know, so it didn't fly out. Well, I wasn't used to that. And I put my phone in this pocket, and it wasn't zipped up. And I was sitting down in my sister's car, and I got out at the airport. And I was talking to the sister on the other side of the counter about my flight and things like that, and I started going like this. Where is that phone? Well, I left it in Pennsylvania, and I wanted to go ahead and just give a little bonus this morning to all of you, a tribute, my personal tribute to Tony Bennett, okay? Could you give me a note, just one note, wherever, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what note it is. I left my phone in Pennsylvania. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was a little bit slower reaction than the first service. Weren't really sure whether to clap, throw something, check out if I'm okay, wondering if something's going on up here. And my sister had said to me, she said, I got an email, of course, don't have my phone. She said, how does it feel to be disconnected? And I emailed her back, wonderful. In fact, I may just pretend that my phone got destroyed in Pennsylvania. It will be back on Tuesday. I'm talking like it's a person. It'll be back in Tuesday, arriving in Arizona. So if you call me or text me and I don't get back to you sometime in the next few days, it's not that I don't like you or I have a problem with you. I don't have my phone yet. Okay, just wanted to let you know that. But I was thinking about what she said about being disconnected and not feeling connected to one another and to the world. And sometimes what we feel is being connected is actually really an artificial connection. It's something that we have created. Twitter has been in the news as of late. To tweet is to send something with a maximum of 140 characters. You can send it out, and if you have followers and they see what you're thinking and contemplating important decisions like what you're going to have for lunch or things like that, and that sends out, and people feel connected in that way. And while I am a big fan of social media and being connected in that way, I also thought about a much more important and pertinent question at the core of who we are as God's people. This is it. This is it. How does it feel to be disconnected from God? And as we consider all of creation, where we live, where we visit, wherever we find ourselves, who is feeling disconnected from God? What are we called to do? The scripture passage today is a prophetic word. Every time we hear a prophetic word, it is a word of challenge. It is a word meant to stretch us. If someone has ever said something to you that stretched you, sometimes it's not comfortable, is it? Or if you have been in the position of having to say something to someone else in love, but nonetheless it stretched them, that's challenging. Not only is the prophetic word challenging, but the names in this passage are challenging also, aren't they? Like my brother said, you don't want his teeth flying out over you in the front row or second row there. Or some of these words that you say, it sounds like you're almost going to spit whenever you say them. And I think about people who've tried to come up with biblical names for their children. I am so thankful that my mom and dad did not name me Haggai Leftwich. There's enough problems now with Neil Leftwich and things that I get addressed to Geo Leftwich and things like that. Haggai is a prophet, and it's a minor prophet. Whenever we say that, that doesn't speak to the importance of what he's saying or the importance of the prophetic word God is working through him. It just says that that book is smaller, shorter than other books, like Isaiah, much longer book in the Old Testament. And he's bringing a word to the people of God who had turned away from God, who, if you will, had felt disconnected from God. They came back in to the land, to their homeland, after exile. And whenever they first got back there, there was a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and a lot of it centered around building, rebuilding the temple. Now for us, we understand that God is everywhere. Certainly God is present here. This is God's house. We're here because of God at work in our lives. But for those people of God, in that era and in that time and place, in that region, rebuilding the temple and having a focus of where God was important. And there was a lot of excitement at first. And we understand that they started building the temple. They started building the temple. And then it stopped. Not 1 year passed. Not 2 years passed. 2 years passed. Not even 3 years passed. 17 years passed. And nothing more had been done. They dropped the project. Hadn't done any more work. And had turned away from what God was calling them to do. Anybody here have any unfinished projects in their garage or someplace else in the house? Has it been 17 years that you just dropped it there? Okay. The joy of this passage, one of the joys, is that whenever the people of God were called into account by the prophet, by the prophetic word from God, they listened and they responded and they started building. They started doing what God had called them to do so many years ago. Even though they had turned away from God, even though they had started focusing on their own lives and becoming more and more inward in that focus, God was still speaking to them. God was still on speaking terms with his people. Now the people, certainly, originally, whenever they had stopped working on what God had asked them to work on, they were building their own houses and were building better and better houses, but then it became more of a focus on something that was for them. And there was never enough for them, and they could never get enough. And they became more and more self-centered. The word through the prophet is powerful. And I liked what our brother read. Two words. They sound a little bit different in different translations. But two words. Take courage. Say that along with me. Take courage. In the translation that our brother offered, it was about building. It was about do it. Nike came out with an ad a number of years ago, just do it. That's what we're talking about here. Do it. There's action. God is not saying contemplate, pray. God is saying, let's do it. Get back to work. But take courage is part of that, isn't it? Knowing that we can trust God. Knowing that although we might not know what's down the road, if we trust in God, it's going to be okay. It really will. Take courage. And then, God speaks here. That was God's word through the prophet. And now God speaks. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The later splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. What God is saying here is, those things that you were seeking after, those things that you were trying to accumulate, and God uses the clearest example here, gold and silver, those things belong to me already. You might think that as you gather more and more that it's yours.
Okay.
As you buy another, let me translate this into to present day language. As you buy another toy, it's yours. Look at what I just got. It's mine. And this sense of turning more and more inward. And as Christians, who are we called to be focused on? God, the God of creation. That is who our lives belong to. That is who everything belongs to. And so there's a lot of freedom in that. Not about accumulating for ourselves, but trusting in how God is guiding us to walk on the path that He has before us. The prophetic word was challenging to those people who first heard it, who had turned away from God, who had turned inward, and yet God was still speaking to them. That's a word of hope for us today. That even if we have turned away from God, even if we have become the most self-centered person, even if it has become, our mantra has become looking out for number one, all we need to do is simply say, Lord, here I am. A very simple prayer, offering ourselves, and God is already there. God is calling us back into the work that God would have us do. And what is that work? What is it? In our ministry here together, as the body of Christ here, there are so many different things that are taking place, so many different kinds of ministry, and so many different ways to kind of connect, to build, as God calls His people to do in this scripture. The prophet's words for us to go ahead and get started are important for us to realize today. We must get started. It's not about, well, I'll put that off until tomorrow. We can go ahead and step forward and say, this very moment, God, what would you have me build? What would you have me do? How would you have me connect even more so in our ministry together in the name of Jesus Christ? Coming here, being in worship is essential. Worship in the gathering of the body of Christ, the people of God, is still the central time when we are called to be together. Everything comes out of that then. So this is good work today. Thank you. But what else? What else is God calling you to build? What are the ministry that you maybe read about in the bulletin or see in our calendar or hear about is God calling you to participate in? How is God calling you to stretch yourself even further to build His kingdom in a way that might completely surprise you? Let me offer a quote from the founder of Habitat for Humanity. Millard Fuller, in his book, The Theology of the Hammer, I like that title, The Theology of the Hammer, states this: our Christian faith mandates that we do more than just talk about faith and sing about love. We must put faith and love into action to make them real, to make them come alive for people. Faith must be incarnated. It must become more than a verbal proclamation or an intellectual assent. Our connection with God requires a simple vulnerability before God, a trust, an openness. As we open ourselves and reconnect and strengthen that connection, because God is always approaching us, always at work, then we are also called to help others reconnect with God. It's a world in which so many people are hungering, so many people are thirsting for a deeper relationship with God. And as we go out from this place, we can help that along by speaking of what Jesus means for us personally and how God's love is at work changing us, building us. Sometimes the thing that we do might not seem that big or impressive, but it doesn't have to be, as long as it changes one life. There was a bridge in China nicknamed Suicide Bridge. Upwards of 1,000 people have plummeted to their death off of that bridge. One man decided to do something about it. Chen Si gets up early every weekend and travels by bus to that bridge. He keeps watch for those who seem suicidal or depressed. He carries a billboard, and what it has on it is very simple. It's a big red heart. His message is simple. You only have one life. Please give yourself a chance. The sun is bound to shine brighter tomorrow. There has been a dramatic reduction in the number of suicides at the bridge because of this one man's actions. An ordinary man answered his call and made an extraordinary contribution. How is God wanting to reconnect with you? How is God wanting you to help build his kingdom? What is God asking you to build? In our times of reflection, think about that along with me. Be open to God speaking into your life. If you feel like you've become disconnected with God, all you need to do, silently say, Lord, here I am.